Information presented in the following program is for entertainment purposes only and should not be taken as a statement of fact. Once upon a time, they were as famous as the sun and the surf in South Florida. Celebrities ate there. Tourists looked forward to visiting them. They were a part of the culture and heart that defined South Florida, especially Miami and Miami Beach. This is the tale of the delis from yesterday. Welcome to Tales from South Florida. I'm your host, Bill Monte. Looking for a good place to get some corned beef today? Well, if you live in the Miami area, it probably won't be at a deli. As you may know, South Florida lost most of its major delis a long time ago. Those places where the pastrami's were spiced and brined and cut at the counter, where waitresses snapped, "What do you have, sweetheart?" as they tossed down buckets of dill pickles and prune Danish, places that were legendary for decades suddenly became non-essential. Why? A good nosh is a good nosh, right? So to paraphrase a song from the 60s, where have all the delis gone? Long time passing. Well, demographics had a lot to do with the death of the Jewish deli in Miami and Miami Beach. Especially after Hurricane Andrew, the exodus of the Jewish and older demographics up to Broward and Palm Beach counties drained these delicatessens of their much-needed customer base. And so did the quest for a healthier diet. In the late 20th century, the desire to find healthier options overtook the fondness for these types of menus. I mean, let's face it, we're still coping with that, right? Fatty meat, sky-high sodium levels, they just don't quite cut it anymore. Rising prices at these places that were already considered more expensive than your average diner or Denny's also helped seal their fate. Look, there are many reasons why these delicatessens suddenly vanished. But listing all of these reasons, enough to make us weep, and to make me hungry, too. The names of the deli ghosts from yesteryear, they're still fresh in our memories, though. The pickles and coleslaw served gratis on the table as you waited for your food. Older, salty waitresses who generally treated you as if you were an unwelcome relative interrupting their day. And those flavors, those flavors of the Northeast, especially New York, that danced around your taste buds. Miss them still. So who were these temples of pastrami and corned beef? Well, for me, the big four were Corky's, Pumpernick's, Wolfie's, and Rascal House. Let's take a look at them. Somewhere around 1958, a small drive-in restaurant complete with car hops and a building which seemed to hold more people than seemed possible opened on the curve on 163rd Street in North Miami. It was called Corky's. Once it became known for catering a mean party, the car hops and drive-in gave way to the catering business, which sustained Corky's for years. Of the four we're going to talk about today, Corky's is my personal favorite due to two factors. One, prices were slightly lower than the other delis. I was a younger guy when I went there most of the time. I didn't have a whole lot of money. Now I'm an older guy, and I don't have a whole lot of money. And then there were the potato pancakes. Look, I know, a discussion of who has the best latkes can lead to arguments and even violence, but for me, Corky's smaller, football-shaped potato pancakes with those three lines rising on them, they were far and above competition. Slightly crisp, with the right amount of seasoning to pair with applesauce, my mouth waters just thinking about them. The menu was similar to other spots, and the food was good, so it was always worth the trip to North Miami from Broward County for a great sandwich. But the migration north that we mentioned before became a huge issue for Corky's, and in 1996, the North Miami location closed its doors to follow the customers up to Broward County, Pembroke Pines to be exact. Now look, our families were thrilled to have it so much closer, but something was off. Was it losing the magic of the original location and the clientele? The newer booths and modern ambiance? I'm not sure, but outside of the latkes, the food didn't seem as good. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't the same. Others must have noticed this too, because the initial long lines vanished, and being able to walk right in foretold the eventual end. I don't recall just when Corky's and Pembroke Pines closed, because we had stopped going. But outside of being able to buy the frozen potato pancakes for a while at grocery stores, the Corky's era disappeared without much fanfare. There can be no doubt that Wolfie Cohen was the undisputed king of delis in Miami, Miami Beach, and let's face it, for all of South Florida. For over 50 years, the original Wolfies catered to the likes of Jackie Gleason, Meyer Lansky, Liza Minnelli, the list goes on and on. It was as much a part of the Miami Beach landscape as the sun, the surf, and the snowbirds who flocked here every year. The original Wolfies opened on Collins Avenue before World War II and survived several changes in ownership and the changing fortunes of the beach, even a 1985 fire. Like Corky's, the menu and food would be talked about for years, and families would line up outside for a coveted table replete with the slaw and pickles we all came to expect. But the decline in tourism after 9/11, a street improvement project that left many businesses floundering, and the changing demographic of the area which surrounded Wolfie's meant it was time to take a break. And on a Sunday in 2002, that break took effect, and it was one from which it never returned. Well, at least not in Miami Beach. I was doing some research and heard that the original Wolfie's, along with Rascal House, has opened in Sarasota in the last year. I can't confirm this, but if you can, or if you've been there, let us know by writing me at talesfromsouthflorida@gmail.com. Might be a future road trip. We'll be talking more deli right after this message. Hey, waitress, some more schmear here, please. Cirque du Soleil Echo, Under the Big Top, at Gulfstream Park, now through April 21st, 2024. Echo was a spectacular performance. Hey, I've seen it. I can tell you, you're going to have a great time. This show combines poetry, stagecraft, daring acrobatics, and technology, and explores that delicate balance between people, animals, and the world we all share. Tales from South Florida listeners have access to special discounted single tickets. How does 25% off sound? And group tickets. To learn more, join our Facebook page, Tales from South Florida, or write to us at talesfromsouthflorida@gmail.com, and I'll send you the link for that special discounted tickets. You'll be buying directly from Cirque du Soleil and not any third-party sellers. Cirque du Soleil Echo, Under the Big Top, at Gulfstream Park, now through April 21st, 2024. Be there! Hi, Bill Monty here, and I invite you to join me for my podcast, Bill Monty's Guide for Getting Older. Each episode, I'll be talking about topics that affect older Americans, but don't worry, we'll keep it light, educational, and entertaining. It's not about being old. It's about getting older, and sometimes you need a guide to get you to where you're going. And that's me, Bill Monty's Guide for Getting Older, the podcast for young people who have been alive a very long time. As we continue on our journey of delis from yesterday, let's move up to Broward County. Pumpernick's, the last in a landmark South Florida chain that lavished its customers with Jewish food and bargain late afternoon dinners, closed on a Wednesday in 1993 without any warning. The signs in the entrance said closed for renovation, but customers and employees knew the restaurant had served its last plates of pickled tomatoes. There were several pumpernicks throughout South Florida, but this one, it was the last one. The legend began when restaurateur Wolfie Cohen, yes, that Wolfie Cohen, we just talked about him, opened the first Pumpernick's at 6700 Collins Avenue in Miami Beach. It was the era of grand hotels. Pumpernick's was the hotspot for kosher-style bites. It was the site of Larry King's early radio shows.
Only $50.
As South Florida grew, the Pumpernick's chain stretched from South Dade to Pembroke Pines, but the owners who came after Cohen just couldn't keep other franchises open. The Hallandale Beach Boulevard restaurant became the final one when the Sunnyland location went belly up in 1990. Rumors about the impending disaster began when the last heir to Wolfie Cohen's kingdom began negotiating with Walgreens to build a drugstore on the restaurant site. Although staff and customers were reassured, "We're gonna be here for a long time," on that quiet Wednesday in 1993, Pumpernick's faded into the fog of generational memory. For our final stop on the Delis from Yesterday tour, we're going to head back down to Miami Beach, and this is the biggie. This is the one that became famous and helped make Miami Beach famous a little bit. You know I'm talking about the Rascal House. It was Miami's most famous delicatessen, hosted the famous and the infamous. Customers would line up all day. It looked like they were lining up for a ride in Disney World. Would line up all day waiting outside to be led to a table to be treated to great deli, a can of Celray or Dr. Brown soda, perhaps an egg cream. The waitresses, who all seemed to have a love-hate relationship with the customers, would hurry you along the ordering process, toss food at the table, and everyone loved it. I remember radio talk show host Neil Rogers once telling the story on air went along these lines. A guy was eating his breakfast, and the waitress walking by spilled orange juice on him. When he got irate about it, she looked at him and nonchalantly said, "Don't get upset, honey. It should be the worst thing to happen to you today." And moved on. And that was the service at Rascal House in a nutshell. The food was amazing. The restaurant was legendary. And if you were a tourist coming here, it was a must-eat-at destination. You had to go here. Known for being the place where everyone meets to eat, it was open all night with loads of free delicious breads and rolls, pickles and coleslaw on the tables, all for the taking. The Rascal House was not just famous for its generous portions. It was jam-packed by locals and tourists alike, many just hoping to see the big stars that would dine there. People like Clark Gable, Judy Garland, Katharine Hepburn, gangsters like Bugsy Siegel, Meyer Lansky. It was really a different time back then on the beach, wasn't it? Wolfie Cohen died in 1986. He left the Rascal House to his daughter, and she managed it for about 10 years. But in 1996, she sold it. And after having various owners, Rascal House officially closed in 2008. And just like that, they were all gone. Want to revisit Rascal House or a Wolfie's? Well, like I mentioned before, rumor has it, you can head on over to Sarasota. If you're not up for the drive, though, I suggest you join the Facebook group I Grew Up in Sunny Isles. Every Friday, admin Barry Rose invites you to join him at a table in a day gone by and kick about the memories of the best pastrami this side of Katz's in New York. Where do you go for great deli today? If all these places are gone, where do you go? What are your go-tos? I need to find out, because friends, I need me some good deli and a little more schmear. Write to me at talesfromsouthflorida@gmail.com or give me a call and leave a voicemail, 754-800-3170. If you didn't get those, just look down in the show notes from whatever app you're listening to. You'll see that email address and that phone number there. I'd like to take just a moment to say thank you to all of you who have been supporting the show. Again, I'm just so impressed with the growth. I'm just going to pick out a couple of names here. So I'd like to thank Holly Kay. Thanks, Holly. I appreciate you listening. And by the way, I was in Publix a couple of weeks ago in the produce section. I was wearing my podcaster t-shirt, and someone walked up to me and asked if I was Tales from South Florida. I was so stunned, I neglected to get the person's name. If that was you, please write to me and let me know. I'd like to thank you on air. You made my day that day. A few other people that have been listening and supporting, Kelly Hansen, she just joined us all the way from North Carolina. We appreciate that. We got Brendan Glenn, Laura Lee Finster, Bill Stabile. Thank you, Bill. Kim Mullins, we appreciate your support. Ken, he listens to us. Kenny Samuels, he listens to us all the way from South America. We do appreciate it. My friend Jeff Allen Wolf, he supported us so much. We appreciate that. There are so many here. I can't list them all. We're going to try and name people every episode so we can say thank you. And one more thing, if you could, whatever app you're listening to, hit that subscribe button. It's not going to cost you anything, but it's going to let you know notifications of when we have new episodes and specials going on. And it just helps us to build the popularity of the show. So hit that subscribe button. I appreciate it. My friends, I thank you for taking this talk down memory lane with me. And until next time, this is Bill Monty inviting you to continue to join me for more tales from South Florida. Until then, remember, be kind whenever possible. It's always possible. Peace.